Of the four major parts to today, Jesus washing his disciples' feet, celebrating Passover and instituting the Lord's Supper, to in Gethsemane praying, three, and then betrayal, and then everything after that, four. Those four things, certain times, different years, we focus on different one of those. Tonight we're going to look at number two, that is Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. And so some of you know this because you're here for that, and some of you don't. But for four sixth graders here at Zion, it's the first time coming to the Lord's table. So we've had a parent and student teaching workshop and then conversation, you know, with elders and me. And so a very exciting time coming to the Lord's table for the first time. So this essentially is a brief sermon, teaching sermon on the Lord's Prayer, or Lord's Prayer, on the Lord's Supper, I mean, continuing that. So here's what I want you to remember. God comes most near in things most ordinary. God comes most near in things most ordinary. See, we all want to know that God is near to us, right? We want to know God loves me, God cares about me. If God was totally distant, like deists believe, just, you know, set the world in motion and go take a vacation snooze and not care, would you care to have a relationship with that God? No, you wouldn't. And I don't blame you. So people that think that that's who God is and that's why they don't come to church, I don't fault them one bit. If that's who you think God is, why would you? You don't have a relationship. But I think in our heart, we have this burning desire to know that God is with us, God loves us, God wants to come near. How does God do that? We in the church use some churchy words to say that, but God always comes near, always is for you, always is speaking to you, always is right here with you in two things, word and sacrament. Now I say they sound churchy, right? Word, sacrament. That's not to say God doesn't do other things, but God will always be word and sacrament. Sort of a funny story. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, a little risky. But we can often think, well, you know, God appeared to me here, and maybe God did, but then you might think, well, maybe God didn't, and I got it wrong. And then where we always know God, God will always speak to you in his word. He's always there. But God will also always be here at this table to forgive you and strengthen and renew. So no matter what happens in your life, you can always run to the places where God says, I will be. So here's the risky story. There's an old episode of The Simpsons from years ago. I remember seeing it probably in high school. And Homer decides that he's not going to go to church anymore. So he's made the great decision that church is boring. I'm not going anymore. And so Marge is taking all the kids. And then on a Sunday, he's on the couch. He's saying, hey, this is great. And then God appears to him and says, you have forsaken my church. You know, big booming voice. And then Homer says, yeah, you know, it was just kind of boring, and, you know, the sermons are kind of boring, and then God says, you know, come to think of it, I kind of know what you mean. And then they have this conversation, and kind of funny, and then at the end of it, you know, they kind of make peace, and then God, you know, personified as a man, kind of says, oh, come to think of it, I got to go now. I got to go appear on a tortilla in Mexico. See ya. Funny as it is, it's easy to say, well, God appeared to me in a really, really bizarre way. Maybe God did. I'm not going to discount that. But there's that part of ourselves that'll doubt that and go, how do I know God is here? How do I know God was in that? And we may not. Which means God has always said, come to my word, I'll speak to you. And in sacrament, I'll be there as well. So let's talk about big holy word, sacrament of the Lord's table. I actually want you to turn to page 8. I'm putting this out of order. So we're going to walk through this first. And this is stuff that students learned, and you all, if you studied Luther's Small Catechism at some point in your life, technically should know. But the catechism really means faith teaching tool. For parents to teach children, but then for all of us to keep learning and teaching ourselves and growing. And so he lays out what is this Lord's table that we're about to partake in on the night when, you know, Jesus himself actually instituted it. And we call it many things, but the sacrament of the altar. Another word is Eucharist. Now that one, if you go to Greece today, where modern Greek is, you know, very different than in the Bible, but when they speak modern Greek, that word, it just means thank you. And so people say it all the time, and every day you go to a shop and you buy a Coke, and they'll say, you know, Ευχαριστώ in Greek, Eucharist, thank you, thank you, thank you, which I just thought, really cool reminder, you know, oh, wow, it's the same word, no real connection, but it's Thanksgiving, God's meal of Thanksgiving and to us. We say the sacrament of the altar, and I want to walk through some of these questions with you. So there's bold and there's me. So, what is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood. It is. Jesus says is, we believe is. I don't know how Jesus climbs on every altar and table tonight and Sunday morning, but guess what? I'm not God, so I don't have to figure that out. Jesus said, this is my body, my true body, we believe it. In three lines, answer a bunch of questions, right? Let's keep going. Where is this written? The holy evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul, right? Turn the page, keep going. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words given. That's my favorite sentence on these two pages of the Catechism. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. So why do we make a big deal about calling, you know, sacraments and the Lord's table and celebrating communion? Why do we make a big deal? Because forgiveness is the gospel. It's God at his own expense on the cross, dying for us at his own expense, bringing us back into his family, into his kingdom, which we do not deserve. And that same Jesus that bleeds and dies for us says, wherever I show up, I'm going to bring that forgiveness and that life. And so when he shows up mysteriously, sacramentally on the Lord's table, we just say, yes, I need to be reminded. I need that forgiveness over and over again. Where there is forgiveness, there is also life and salvation. Say that with me. For where there is forgiveness, there is also life and salvation. Have you had a time when you needed to ask forgiveness for someone, from someone? And they said, I forgive you. What does that do to the relationship? You move forward, right? Has there been a time when somebody did not forgive you? What happened? Essentially did that, right? And if you don't forgive again, you take another step back, right? We can't take any steps towards God. He's taken them all towards us in Jesus. He's the one that's won the forgiveness. He's the one that's given it. And he's the one that graciously says, whenever you celebrate this meal, I'm going to keep bringing it and bringing it and bringing it. And it's going to be so real to you, you're not just going to feel it in prayer as a feeling. You actually get to taste it, eat it, swallow it, real forgiveness, which means we have life and salvation in Jesus. Next part. How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? Certainly not. How does it happen? I don't know. It's not my power, it's God's power. Even as 1600 years ago, people like St. Augustine were saying, look, it's not the power of the pastor or the officer, it's God's word. Speak God's word, connected to God's things, forgiveness, life, salvation. And where I started, don't forget, God comes most near in things most ordinary. We all want to know that God loves us. God is near to us. And how more ordinary can you get than words? We all use words. How does God speak to us? God's word. Plain words, which is why sermons can be boring, right? They're just plain words. But God uses words. And when they're God's words, they're powerful. And how much basic can you get than bread, wine, water, baptism? Bread, wine, water. How basic in the ancient world? You ate bread. You actually drank more wine than water for impurities. And water cleanses. God comes most near in the things most ordinary to us. Just like the presence of God is felt most near by, probably by the ones closest to you that care for you and love you. God comes in ordinary bread and wine to you. Last section. Who receives this sacrament worthily? If such a big deal is going on when we celebrate communion, then we say, man, maybe I'm not, you know, good enough to get up to the table. Maybe I'm not worthy. And it says, who receives worthily? And I love it. Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine. Like, do you do push-ups? If some of you do push-ups in the aisle to get ready for communion, that's okay. Bodily preparation is certainly fine and fasting, but person that's truly worthy and prepared is the one who has faith in what's going on, believes. So you can, you know, run a marathon to prepare for communion, and that's okay. But what actually makes you the most worthy is just to simply say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I am sorry. I need forgiveness. I want forgiveness, life, and salvation. Isn't that amazing? What makes you truly worthy is just saying, Jesus, I need you. Flip to the next page, page 10 on the bottom. Some of you have noticed this already. Under distribution of the Lord's Supper, I put a little write-up there and then a few questions. Oh, and I did include my favorite line, for where there is forgiveness of sins, there's also life and salvation. And then three questions. How do we prepare to come to the Lord's table? And I just put three basic questions. Am I sorry for my sins? Do I trust in Jesus, life, death, and resurrection for my forgiveness and salvation? And do I want to live faith in Jesus? Do I want to follow Jesus? Do I want to, sometimes we say, amend my sinful life? It's that simple. Because the gospel is that good of news. That Jesus doesn't just want to come once on the cross and save you and be that distant God. He wants to come over and over and over. Because God comes most near in things most ordinary. They might be in fancy silver, you know, stuff, but it's still bread, it's still wine, and it is absolutely Jesus bringing forgiveness and life for you.